Tonight, well, we get into the Word of God, and we're going to open the Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I want to preach a theme I preached before, not this message, but just a theme about investing in people or having a relationship with people. Now, Becky and Jeff Roten did tell me there was a few nutty buddies left. The bad thing is there's not enough for everybody. So if we could pray, I'm going to make my way back to the lobby and greet at the end of this. And so, Amy, you be ready. We're going to make sure they pray a long prayer, and we're going to get back to the lobby and get ours. And then after that, everybody can have however many is left. First come, first serve. But they'll be back there at the back. Thank you for being a part of this morning. And there's so much we want to cram into a Sunday morning, but I also want to be timely. I try to keep it on time, but that's not because I think we have to. I know we're not on a time limit. But I want to see the Lord grow this church to reach as many people as we can. And I believe that when we're timely, especially on Sunday morning, that helps that because people can kind of count on it as guests and visitors come and folks that come from now and again. And so we're thankful for your patience as we try to cram as much. Sometimes we put it on Dan, and he's got to try to make all that schedule of services work, and then he does a good job, and thank the Lord for that. Well, I want to preach for a little while. I did hear, if this is a real flop, then it was Larry Trent's fault, but he told me that there was this pastor, that he was talking to all the people, and he said, who wants to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand up except for one guy. Pastor said, don't you want to go? And he said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you got your hand up? He said, well, I do want to go. I just thought you was getting a load up right now. I don't want to go now, but so maybe we're that way. Well, that was poor, Larry. I'm sorry. I do what I can. I mean, I tried to put as much punch in as I could possibly work out. But Philippians chapter 4, just this aspect of building relationships, investing in people. The longer I live, the more I realize that really all we're going to do is just make some impressions on people for the gospel, hopefully. And then people that are already saved to help them grow in their faith. I think there's no better illustration of it than what you just saw in the song that was sung, a dad with a son singing, and I know Shannon and Katie's desire, the mom and dad of Noah, their desire is just to see Noah and Bailey just grow up and live for the Lord all of their life. And obviously all of us have bobbles and we don't do it right every day, of course, but that's their desire. And they're trying to invest in them, but they're not the only ones. I'm thinking of just all of us. We can start naming names, but I see families as we come out of church, and I know that Brett Price, that's his desire, is just to see his children grow up and live for the Lord and bypass some of the heartache that so many young people have as they grow up. You stay close to the Lord and close to the book, then you just save yourself so much disappointment, so much heartache. That's my prayer over and over again for the children that ride our church buses, that they would not only be saved, but then set their sails to live a life for God so they could avoid the heartache that is certainly waiting for them as they go down the path that the devil has for them. And that's why, for one of many reasons, why I love our buses. I love the bus ministry, and I'm praying, and I've asked you again, pray with me that the Lord would raise up workers. We need missionaries right here in Gray and Johnson City and Kingsport that would just take this ministry as their mission, and they'll go out on Saturdays and Friday nights and visit and try to find people, bring them to church on Sunday and see them gloriously saved. And all of that is about having relationships with people. Philippians chapter 4, this is God using the Apostle Paul to give a message, farewell, this is the last chapter of this book, to the people at Philippi. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Then it goes on to say some familiar, very, very familiar verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But I want to focus on those first three verses about having relationships with people. I want you to, as you look over it again, you see the words in there, dearly beloved, verse number one. My joy, my crown, my dearly beloved, at the end of verse number one again. He says in verse number two that they that be of the same mind in the Lord. In verse number three, I entreat you, you true yoke fellow. At the end of that verse, my fellow laborers. All these words are either of terms of endearment or else we're in this all together. And I guess we'll see what the Lord does. I trust it's a blessing to us. I want to show, though, in this framework of how we ought to act and behave toward those people who we have a relationship with. And I hope that wherever you are in life, that you have not quit making relationships and building people, even if you don't get to see the end of it. If Jesus tarries is coming and nature takes its course, I'll live longer than my dad. My children will live longer than me. So they won't see all of the mom didn't. She's in heaven and she, from heaven, I guess, but hasn't seen all that we will do. And dad won't, most likely, but I won't for my kids. And you won't for your kids. But so it's not the matter of I got to see what they did. But we ought to be training them and equipping them. I'm getting a little ahead of myself in my notes, though, but one father put it like this. I feel like my dad job as a dad is not done until I teach my children everything that I have to teach them. Now, sometimes a person through an untimely death, you don't get to always do that. But that's our goal. We want to pour into people. And let's get started. We'll trust the Lord for it. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Help me, dear God, to get across to the folks what you've seem to get across to me for this message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm married. The closest of human relationships is a husband and wife. I have a wonderful wife, Amy, and I often say from the pulpit that if Amy ever decides to leave me, I'm going to ask her if I can go with her because I'd hate to finish this thing out without her. I love being together. I love being married. I love our children. I'm a father. I'd give my life for the kids. And it's funny how parents are. They say, I'd die for my children. Then the next time you see them, they're ready to be the ones that kill their children. It's like, how does that work? Only a mother could say, I love you and hate you in the same or in the same sentence and mean it both times, you know? But I'm a father. I'd give my life for the children. I'm a friend. I want to be a true friend to people that pastors. I spend a lot of time talking to them, trying to encourage because I value the position that I have to try to encourage preachers, and I get encouragement as well. But I love my friends, and I want to be an encouragement to them and spend a lot of time on the phone. But I'm a pastor also of this great church, and I love the people here and spend a lot of time on the phone and in my office and talking, and I care about the folks here at Buffalo Ridge, and I want to look at this framework, though, not only for me, but for you, for everybody, to see if we're treating others right. And I just want to give you a practical nuts and bolts sermon. It won't be exciting necessarily, except for the fact it's, I believe, practical. But I want you to see here and just take a little inventory. If this is how you're behaving toward the people who you have relationship with, who are you talking about? Your children, of course, your grandchildren, if you have grandchildren, your neighbors and coworkers and all that. Are you having a proper relationship with them? And I trust that you are. So let me show you this first one. Number one, in the first verse, I see he, Paul, had a love. Therefore, my dearly beloved. You've heard about how Adam told Eve that he loves her. I love you. I love you. And she said, are you really, do you really, Adam, do you really love me? And then finally he got tired of that. Do you really love me? And finally he looked at her and said, who else? You get it? There was nobody else. But this kind of love the Apostle Paul had, he loved, my dearly beloved, and longed for. He had this desire to be back with these people at Philippi. He says, I long for you. I think about you. And I wonder about the relationships that God has given us that we have a love for the people. Now, granted, Paul spent time with these people, and he had a special love for them. But we ought to get to love the people who we get to serve with. The Bible says God so loved the world, so we ought to have, if nothing else, the love that Jesus did or try to get it for the whole world. I don't even know a lot of people in other countries or a lot of people in this country, but I have a love for them. I have people, as I just prayed, I told you, we pray for laborers for the bus ministry. I love people that we haven't even met yet that are in some houses down on the other side of Johnson City or up in Kingsport or wherever, and I don't know who the next missionary that we're having come through, but I love the people who that next missionary is going to go preach the gospel to because God says that he loved the whole world, and here the apostle has a love. You know, I noticed something. We don't get a lot of great friends in life. Really, when it boils down, I mean, I have lots of people who I'm acquainted with. And we are blessed, people in church. There's so many values, practically speaking, of being a part of a church. Now, these are the second and third and fourth and fifth reasons. The main reason is God tells everybody, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, the book of Hebrews. So I believe that Christian people are supposed to be in church for a church family, to have that for accountability and all of that. But one reason that we ought to have a church, or ought to go to church rather, is because you can make some great friendships because you've already got a common bond in Jesus Christ together with the people who go here. But I've noticed this, we don't have a lot of close friends, and you and I ought to value those people. You think these folks in Philippi were doing everything right? Well, not if they're like the average church. Look in verse number 2, and you'll see that a couple of them weren't doing it. I entreat you also, true yoke fellow. Verse 2. I beseech Euodias, I'm begging Euodias and beseeching Syntyche, or however you say that name, that they be of the same mind. What's that mean in the West Virginia straightforward version? It'd be like, I'm hoping those people get over themselves and start acting right and be nice to one another. I'm praying that they agree together. Obviously, they weren't in agreement last time Paul heard, and so he put it in the Word of God. How'd you like to be Euodias or Syntyche? Put in the forever Word of God that you two weren't getting along too well. Well, back then, people didn't get along in church. Boy, oh boy, aren't you glad that everybody get along in church now? That's a little too close to some of us, because you've seen some bad things in churches, unfortunately. All of us have. But he says here that he had this love, and he said, I'm begging these people to get along with each other. Why? Because I love you. People will disappoint you, as the people of Philippi did the Apostle Paul. These people were disappointing to him. But he had a love for them. My dearly beloved, my joy, my crown. He says, I love you all. And I'm thinking of this. If we're going to really affect somebody and impact them, and I hope that I'm not speaking to people and this is not going over the top of our heads. We all only have just a little time to live. And I'm realizing that we're supposed to impact people while we're here for the gospel's sake and for God's work. Really, at the end of the day, what else matters? If you have children, what's the thing that you want more than anything else for them? And that is to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And then after they trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you want to pour as much character, as much discipline, as much self-control in them so that they can live a life that's not plagued with difficulty, with heartache, and heartbreak. I'm saying this evening that he had a love. How many of you understand that ice cream with chocolate syrup and whipped cream and nuts and cherries and all that make you fat, but it hasn't kept many people from eating them? So people sometimes, they don't make you fat, they make you crazy, but you still got to love them. One sweet lady at our church in Ohio, she said, I said, this church is like a can of mixed nuts. And maybe all of our churches are like that. If I am one of those, I hope I'm one of those pistachios. I hope I'm not, you know, they put on those cans not more than 50% peanuts or something. I don't want to be one of those gross nuts that nobody likes. I want to be one that people would enjoy. But here we see that he had a love, my dearly beloved. But not only did he say that, but I see also, though, that he had an investment. And here's where some work comes for all of us. If you didn't want to invest in your children, you should have never had them. If you didn't want to invest in your employees, you shouldn't have become a boss or a manager or a supervisor or whatever. Well, if you didn't want to be a good neighbor, you shouldn't have moved close to anybody. And so here we see that he had an investment. He says, my dearly beloved and longed for, we've already got that part, my joy and crown. Now, crowns in that day would have been one of those wreaths that they placed on, kind of like the Olympic crown back in that day. We now pay homage to it in some ways, but that Olympic crown. And so when he says my joy and my crown, basically he said, you're my reward. I'm proud of you. You're fruit to my account. And that verbiage is used in other places in Scripture where it says we might have fruit that abound to your account. It's amazing how when you invest in something, as he did. He had a love. He had an investment in them. When you have an investment in there, that helps that love grow. I'm told that it takes about $1,300 to get a baby from diapers, I mean, when they get home, till they get where they're potty trained. You say, that's a lot of money. Well, just think if you didn't use them. That's a lot of mess. That's a big investment. So that means we got $3,900 invested in these three kids before we even got them to where they would be potty trained. It's amazing how we have an investment in people. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we usually turn that around. Where your heart is, then you'll put your money. But really, the Bible says the other way, where your treasure is, where you put your money into, your heart's going to follow. That means that the people who are most interested in what goes on in a project, be it a church or some other place, it's the people who are invested in it. If you've got stocks, you look at it. You check and see what those stocks are doing. If you've got a condo in Florida, the weather comes through and the rest of us might just say, well, yeah, I think it's going to storm down there. But if you've got a condo there on the on one of those beaches, you're watching, you're looking, you may even have a camera, Wi-Fi to your phone that you might see what the current weather conditions is down there. When Jared was at school, they had a live feed of the weather cameras down there. And so whenever storms would come through, Amy would watch what's going on in Pensacola, Florida, right there on Brent Lane where the college was. Why? Because we got investment down there. We've got a son that we love, and he was down there. I'm just saying that you've got an investment. I already mentioned that father said as he was giving a motivational speech that he thought that he wasn't done being a dad until he had conveyed all the things that he knew to the next generation. Now, God doesn't always give us that. Sometimes you've had many people in this room, you've had a father that died an untimely death and you were young when he left. But I see that the apostle had an investment. And then I got a little ahead of myself, but I see this, that not only because he had the investment, though, he cared how they finished. Look at the verse number 1 again. He says, my joy, my crown, stand fast. The apostle cared about how the people finished. I want Jared, Maddie, and Allie to stand fast for God. Not just have money, but stand fast for the Lord Jesus Christ. My pastor, who pastors Franklin Road Baptist Church for the last 21 years, for 10 years before that, pastored the Ripley Baptist Temple where I worked for him the first time. Even though he doesn't pastor there, he's not responsible. Nobody calls him when the water line breaks. Nobody calls him to complain or rejoice about anything. But do you know, because he spent part of his life there, and that was his pastorate, first pastorate, that he still has a great concern and goes back whenever when they invite him, and he'll speak and he'll preach and he'll help and he'll minister because he has a heart for that place. He cares how they finished. And when you've got an investment in people, you too care how that person turns out. That's why the apostle said, stand fast. He cared about Euodias and Syntyche, as we've already addressed, that they would straighten up. Why did he care? Because he did care. Why would people care about what happens at Buffalo Ridge? I get people all the time. Somebody told me, I was at BIMI the other day, and a pastor said, oh, we've been praying for that church over the last years, and we're thankful this and that. Why would they care? Because they have, for some reason or another, have an investment, have a connection here. And you talk about somebody who cares how it turns out. We celebrate Preacher Lassley's 90th birthday. He cares because he's given the majority of his life right here to serve. You ask other pastors, you ask Brother Jody who pastored this church, why? He cares about how it did because he has an investment. I've invested a lot in my marriage. Boy, oh boy, have we invested a lot. I heard this one lady, she said, oh, I've been married 25 years. I've got too much time invested on this one. I can't start over fresh now. I got this one trained. Well, I'm asking you to do this on this aspect of investment. If you're taking notes or if you're not, can you give me just a moment and let me give you these three things asking you to do an assignment. I believe that everybody should be an investor. Pardon me. I believe that everybody should be an investor. It's not fair for you just to say, I don't really have anybody around me. Then I think it's our responsibility to find somebody. Maybe somebody here at the church. And I say, investor, you don't have to sit down with them for an hour every week and say, well, I'm giving this time. It can be that you see them in the hall, see them in the lobby. You can tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. You can invest in, I'm trying to invest in lots of people. And they're not always on official settings. But number one, would you ask God to lay someone on your heart that you can invest in, you can encourage? Maybe it's somebody that you know down the street from you that you've been thinking that you ought to help them in some financial fashion, some whatever. But ask God to lay someone on your heart. I believe I can encourage them. So what is in for me? Just because we're supposed to be encouragement to people. And don't be weird and don't go up and say, well, God's put you on my heart. I'm going to be your investor, whether you want me to or not. I'd probably back off from you too. But ask God to lay somebody on your heart. And then number two, after that, do something, a gift, money, service, whatever it is, that they need or would not do for themselves. Do something for them that they need or they wouldn't do for themselves. It may be somebody, they've got plenty of money. It's not like you can be a blessing to them to the degree that you're really going to rock their world or anything. But do something that they either need or wouldn't do for themselves. And then number three, I want you to write down, but you don't have to do it. It's just something you can observe. And then number three, watch your care for them increase. You don't have to make it increase. It will increase. I promise. It's just a principle. It will increase. So number one, ask God to lay someone on your heart. Number two, do something for them that they need or they wouldn't do for themselves. I don't care whether you're a teenager in here, find some other teenager, find some other young person, whether they're related to you, not whatever. Do something for them that they need or they wouldn't do for themselves. And then just observe and watch your care for them increase. So an old preacher put it like this. When you decide to love somebody, decide to love and then give to them in order to feel that love. Because the Bible principle is true where it says, where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. You start investing in physically, you start investing in some stock or whatever, you'll be checking every little bit. Well, I wonder how it's doing. You start going into a building project with somebody else and we're building a house or we're building a building over there and I'm an investor in that. You're going to drive by every now and again just to see what's happening over there. How far are they going? You're going to want reports back from that. But it's also true when you've been praying for somebody, you want to hear how they've been doing. When you've been investing in their life, you're going to be checking up on them, seeing how, do you need anything else? How's it going? So watch your care for them increase. So the Apostle Paul, he had a love. Number two, he had an investment. And that caused him to, number three, care how they turned out. I beg all of us to keep investing in people. Get to know the kids around here. Get in one of our classes. Ask Kyle, ask Daniel, ask somebody how you can get involved in something. Bible school is a good place to start, but how you can get involved and get to know the kids around here, get to know the adult, encourage people at work, say hello to your neighbors, just start investing. The Bible is very clear that a man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. One of the things that shoots right to my heart when people say, well, it's just, wasn't a very friendly church. I don't get that here, but it could be said. Sometimes people say it, and just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. But what is always true is the Word of God when it says the man that hath friends must show himself friendly. We got to put that out there so that we can have those friends. And so we need to keep interacting with people so that we can show them the love of Christ. If nothing else, would you get from this message that we're not done yet? We cannot close ourselves off, and close up shop. There's a whole lot of people who quit living long before they died. And I'm just challenging all of us. we are hindering our effectiveness for Christ because we've quit investing in people. And I trust that maybe tonight you'd make some holy commitments to God to say, I'm going to keep on investing. Maybe it's that nephew of mine. Maybe it's that grandson. Maybe it's that whoever. And it's amazing what you can do. They don't even have to be local. You can do a lot of things over long distances. God will open it up to you if we'll only do it. Investing in people. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I trust that this familiar theme is familiar to me, and I've given some of these things before to the folks, and so it probably sounds familiar to them. But Lord, that's just proof of the fact I'm convinced how important it is. So I pray that we would not close ourselves off yet. I pray that, be we extroverts, introverts, regardless of that we would be investing in people for the ultimate goal of seeing them saved if they're not saved. And then beyond that, for the goal of challenging them and growing them and helping them. Some little spot. We may never get credit, dear Lord. What's that matter? We may never get mentioned at a graduation. Matters not. Lord, we want to be faithful to invest in people as the Apostle Paul did. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. Maybe God spoke to your heart and you say, I have been too closed off. I need to open up again. I need to get busy. I need to reach out to some people. Then if God spoke to your heart, please don't reject what God has led you to do. And then the second part of the invitation is going to be this. I did not preach on the gospel. But the message of this church always is, now and forever, is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save you and me. If you're here today and you're not saved, although I didn't preach about the gospel message, let me give it to you just in a brief fashion. Jesus died on the cross for your sins because you and I have sinned against the holy God. And none of us are worthy to go to heaven on our own merit. But He wants each of us to have a heavenly home. Because He wanted each of us to have a heavenly home, He paid for our sins on the cross so that now we could receive His payment that He provided on the cross and receive Him as our Savior, and He would take our sins away and we'd go to that heavenly home that He wants us to enjoy. And if you've never done that, you've never received Christ as your Savior, then I challenge you to do it. Whatever your need is, maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized since you got saved. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Doesn't make you a Christian, no more than sitting in a garage makes you a car, but it does make you an obedient Christian because the Bible tells everybody to get saved, to get baptized, to follow Christ in that. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And God's already nudged you to do that, and you'd love to come present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, please don't walk out of here not doing business with the Lord. Whatever it is. Bless us again, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God spoke to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Maybe you've got a great burden just to invest in some people. You don't have to get an official class to do that. You can help. I mentioned that. You can talk to Kyle, Brother Kyle, and say, hey, I need to help in a class. You can do that. But you don't need an official class. There's somebody at work that probably needs encouragement. There's somebody in your school, you're out now maybe, but you're when you get back, that just needs somebody to be an encouraging friend. Invest in people. My dearly beloved, my joy, my crown. If God's speaking to your heart, we'll extend the invitation just a moment longer as they play. Come to the front or not, I challenge you to make a little altar out of your seat right there. And just pray and tell the Lord that, Lord, if you'd put somebody in my way, I'd try to invest in them. Try to be an encouragement. You say, what could I invest? I'm not talking about money. You could invest time. You could invest prayer. You could invest encouragement. You could invest just checking up on them. It means a lot when people come in this door. How's school going this week when school gets started back? Knowing enough about somebody to ask a specific question, not a nosy question, but just one that lets them know you care. Thank you. Look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church, and I want to thank you for being here with us tonight, and I want to give you a great, great announcement that Brother David and Miss Lisa Bennett, they've been so faithful. They're such a blessing to me, and we thank the Lord for them, but they want to officially join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're both saved and baptized and love the Lord, and we're so thankful. I've met with them on different occasions, and so we're grateful for them coming to present themselves for membership, but I'd like to recommend as the pastor that we receive them into membership at the church, and so we would need a motion for that. Brother Marty Scroggs makes a motion, and Brother Shannon Barker seconds that motion, and all in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. That's my favorite kind of business meeting. So much better than some of the other ones that people tell horror stories about, but we're thankful that we have good ones here anyway. So what a joy. Praise the Lord for them. They're both an encouragement to me. It's a wonderful, wonderful day here at the church. And so I'll challenge you in just a moment for you to come by and greet them and tell them how glad you are. They may have to go get the little guy from class if he's with them, but tell them that you're so thankful that they're here and be praying for them. Well, Brother Daniel and the Single Purpose, they are going over to the Scoop, I believe, right over, is that where you're going? Right after service anyways. You all know about that anyways, but they'll meet over there, have a great time together. So if that's you or you wish it were, wait a minute. You can't wish you were part of the singles department. No. If you've got a wife, husband, you stick with her. No, that came out wrong. No, you can't do that. You have to be bona fide single purpose. So you come over and meet Brother Daniel. You have a good time together. Thank you so much for being in church today. And we do have a few little, there'll be Nutty Buddies left over there back there. And please take those with you. We certainly want you to enjoy those. But I want you to come by and just greet the Bennetts and thank them for being here. Wonderful day in church. Preacher Lastly, happy birthday. Thank you so much for letting us tell you that, and it's been a joy. God bless you. You're dismissed.